Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarum Injury Lawyers.
Mokarum Injury Lawyers, baby. Hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. If you or a loved one is ever injured in an accident, any kind of accident, Mokarum Injury Lawyers is the way to go without a doubt, y'all. The lists are popping. Ron, the lists are popping. This is Jeremy Fowler, isn't it? ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, his top 10 QB list. He compiles the list. I think it's voted on by execs, coaches, and who else? There's one more. Scouts. Execs, scouts, and coaches. And the question is CJ Stroud in the top 10? I'm going to run down the top 10 here for you as we roll. You tell me how you feel about it. Pat Mahomes is number one. Once again, Ron, I know you had some questions about Pat Mahomes still being the number one overall quarterback in the NFL. I however, did not. I don't think anybody in their right mind would think that Pat isn't still number one. However, you must have been onto something, because on this list here, his first place votes were down to 60% this year. Previously, last year, there was only one vote that didn't have him unanimously number one. So I'm going to guess 99% down to 60. You must be on to something. Pat Mahomes is at least not as highly thought of in this ranking as he was last year.
And I think it's fair. That's what I said. I think whenever they're doing the NFL Network's doing the top 100 players, that one is voted on by the players, kind of. And I think there's a potential he's out of the top 10.
Ooh.
For last year, for just because they do it for last year.
Right, right.
I bet he's in the 8 to 12 range, something like that. And as somebody who is a Chiefs fan, I think it's fair.
Well, here's
I think it's fair that if he has another year where he has not looked like himself throughout the year. At the end of the game, I don't think anybody is arguing that. But I think there is a space for Josh and Lamar in particular, to me.
Yeah.
That his grip is loosened.
Well, I think his grip is loosening, but those two, it's flat out. Josh, Joe, or Lamar is going to have to beat him. In my opinion, is going to have to beat him and knock him off the mountaintop, if you will, to be the number one quarterback or rank above him in the top 100 ranking. Because the truth of the matter is, all of these guys, and as we read through this list, you're going to see the interesting thing about this, Ron, is the better teams in the league in terms of going further in the NFC, they're all quarterbacked by guys that you're not going to put in the top four or five here. I mean, think about it. Jared Goff. I mean, you know, Sam Darnold was with the Vikings.
Yeah.
I mean, you get Jalen Hurts won a Super Bowl. These are all guys that they could put up record-breaking numbers and they're not going to be in the top three or five, right? So that everybody's kind of benefiting from that. But Pat Mahomes is number one. His stronghold on that number one spot has loosened a bit from 99% votes to 60%. Number two, Josh Allen. He's up one spot from 2024. He was number three last year. He did have an MVP season. Josh Allen, number two. Number three, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow down one spot, so Joe and Josh have just flipped here. Check it out. Joe Burrow, 250 yards and three touchdowns in eight straight games this past season, was an NFL record. It's never happened before. Ron, I'm watching that quarterback documentary right now.
You been on it?
I did not remember. Of course, we don't cover him, but I did not remember Joe Burrow and that offense's performance. The numbers they're putting up week after week, especially early in the season to middle of the season. I mean, the numbers that they were putting up, they were losing games. He was losing games throwing for 250 yards and three touchdowns or more. I mean, left and right.
They lost, I think, four or five games where they scored 33 points or more.
Yeah. It's wild. Joe Burrow, number three. Lamar Jackson, number four, which is exactly where he was last year. He was a first-team All-Pro in 2024. Didn't think about this either. That typically your first-team All-Pro quarterback is typically your MVP. This was a rare occurrence that one guy, Lamar Jackson, won the All-Pro first team, and Josh Allen won the MVP. But I didn't know this either. Lamar Jackson, had he won that third MVP, or if he wins another one moving forward, check out the short list of quarterbacks that have won three MVPs. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Brett Favre, my mind just went blank, Brown, Jim Brown, and then United. So a bunch of quarterbacks and Jim Brown. That's wild, right?
Yeah.
That's a short list, man. Lamar Jackson.
Him and Mahomes got a chance to get on that list.
I think Lamar gets there. But as we discussed, Ron, Lamar's, hell, he could very fairly be given the MVP damn near every year, given the way that he contributes. Now, here's where this list gets interesting, because I didn't recognize this until you pointed it out a little earlier. Number five and number one in the NFC. Best quarterback in the NFC, top five quarterback in the NFL last year. Jaden Daniels, right? He flipped Washington out of dysfunction last year. I think they won 12 games. And here's the deal. Again, I go back to the important downs in football. Obviously, the red zone is important, third and fourth down. He made most of his hay, Ron, and is getting a lot of his love because he was absolutely ridiculous on third and fourth down. Absolutely. He had a 95-plus QBR on third and fourth down. His legs, I mean, outside of Lamar and maybe Josh, and I would say second to Lamar, really, to be honest with you. 6 yards per rush, 570 rush yards. Jaden Daniels last year at number five. At first glance, you think best quarterback in the NFC. But then, like I said earlier, if you start looking at it, some of your better teams were quarterbacked by guys that you wouldn't put above Jaden Daniels right now.
Yeah, Stafford is probably one that I look at and yeah. I'm like, if you told me for this year or 1 year, he would be one that I would probably flinch, yeah, that I would take in the NFC before him. But that may be it. I mean, Jalen Hurts is – you know, a champion and has done good things, but I would probably still go with the kid. I think he's got more things he can do.
It's convincing. He did it with a bad offensive line. They reinforced that, and they brought everything else back. They brought giving more options at the wide receiver position. So it was convincing last year. I don't know why there would be any kind of huge backslide, which is what he'd have to do to not be a top 10 next year. But we'll see. Jaden Daniels at five. Number six, as you just mentioned him, Matthew Stafford. He's down from the fifth spot last year. He is the only 30-plus-year-old in the top 10. Matthew Stafford at six, I think it's fair. I think when you talk about standing in the pocket, delivering, I mean, he's as good as anybody from a combination of experience and processing and arm strength and arm talent. He's just an absolute freak. So him being in the top 10, no problem. Number seven, this is where it gets, for a lot of people, out of hand. Number seven, Justin Herbert. Now, I'm not a Justin Herbert fan. I think those that listen to this show know that. But Justin Herbert, last 5 years, there's been one guy in the first 5 years of their career throw for over 20,000 yards. 21,093 yards for Justin Herbert in the first 5 years. Showed this year they cut his attempts by six per game, and he threw three fewer interceptions while still, had 500-plus attempts. So that's something that ain't been done since Brady in 2016. So he did, while his numbers dipped a bit, his performance, I think, improved. Justin Herbert, number seven. You got any problems with that, Ron?
I have problems with him being seven, but I don't have problems with him in the top 10.
Okay.
Like when I heard, all right, when you hear they're going to do position by position, I think it would have surprised me, or it would have been weird to my ears or eyes if Justin Herbert wasn't in it. I don't think he should be above Jalen Hurts. That one is one I didn't agree with. I don't think he should be above. I'd say right now, from based off the last couple of years, maybe even Jared Goff should maybe be ahead of him. But above Baker, that's probably where I'd have him. But it would feel odd. I know a lot of people get annoyed with him Him and Baker are the only two people on this list who haven't played in at least a conference championship game.
Yeah.
But it to me feels weird, Justin Herbert not being in the top 10.
Justin Herbert, number 7. I agree with you. I don't have a problem being in the top 10, but being ranked ahead of some of these guys, I don't know that I can get down with that. Number 8, Jared Goff, the best play-action quarterback in the NFL in 2024. Interesting point here. Jared Goff, he was, I mean, a lot of people think, well, how the hell is Jared Goff in the top 10? 82% of these rankings, 82% of the top 10 rankings, Jared Goff was in.
He should be.
He's playing, and he's again taking an organization out of dysfunction into one of the better, at least one of the better regular season teams for damn sure. He's number 8. Jared Goff is number 8. Number 9, Jalen Hurts. He's up from being an honorable mention last year. Again, remember, this is the most potent short yardage quarterback rusher in NFL history. That's how they couched Jalen Hurts. Obviously, the part that he does not get near the respect that he deserves is the leadership, the intangible part of this thing. He's just a different animal now. He's just a different beast. And there's no off switch. It's year-round in regular season and in the off season. Jalen Hurts is number 9. I think it's a little low. I agree with you, Ron. 10, Baker Mayfield. Surprised to see Baker Mayfield's name on this list in a big, big way. But he has thrown 73 touchdowns in the last two seasons. I'm sorry, not thrown. He's responsible for 73 touchdowns in the last two seasons. There's only two quarterbacks with more. That's Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. So when you look at that, it makes a little bit more sense how he made it, right? To answer it all.
Yeah, the Bucs offense last year was really, really good.
And he seems to be a catalyst there, Ron. Obviously, they got some great targets, and they've had some good play callers over the years. But he seems to have weathered the storm and has gotten back to, obviously, if he's a top 10 quarterback in the league in anybody's eyes, obviously he's brought his career back here. Who fell out of the top 10 quarterbacks?
Anybody?
C.J. Stroud was a top 10. I think Aaron Rodgers was a top 10. And Dak Prescott was a top 10. Those are the three quarterbacks that fell out last year. C.J. Stroud was number 7. Aaron Rodgers, the first time since they started doing these lists in 2020 that he wasn't a top 10 quarterback.
Are you surprised with any of those three being dropped? Or are you surprised of anybody not in that top 10?
I am surprised that Baker Mayfield is up there and C.J. Stroud is not and Dak Prescott is not. And who is it? Brock Purdy is not. There's I think that number 10 spot could have gone to one of five or six guys maybe. And I think we'd had a conversation about it, but I think we could have gotten ahead of Baker. Now I do think it's worth noting 8 through 11, which is 11, I believe, was C.J. Stroud. The voting was very, very close. And so that could have gone anyway. Jared Goff, I don't know how Jalen Hurts falls in that. Baker Mayfield and C.J. Stroud, it was all pretty tight. So could have gone either way there. But C.J. Stroud not in the top 10. I'm not shocked. I think it's fair, Ron. I think it's if you look at last year, not that CJ was terrible, but I think there's other guys that were just actually better. I think there's other guys that, as you said, have a better resume. There's other guys that are hotter right now than CJ Stroud was and probably deserve a little bit more.
2 years.
2 years, yeah. Two-year sample size. It's hard to – when you look at Justin Herbert, I think it's – you look at the ability to stretch the field, the athletic ability, and 20,000-plus yards in his first 5 years in the league. Like, it's hard to go – man, C.J. Stroud should be ahead of that. You know, I don't think he should be 7 on the list, but it's hard to think that there's some of these that you would replace some of these guys with C.J. Stroud. Baker Mayfield is the one to me that I could have seen C.J. Stroud being ranked over in this list. And I'll be honest with you, I'm surprised he's not. I'm cool with it after seeing it and reading into it and looking at it, and I'm cool with it. But
I don't think going into the year people thought he would have been above Stroud and Jordan Love.
Right.
Who are the next two out? I don't know. Yeah, Baker has been pretty good the last couple of years, and he's got more of a sample size. I don't know. I wasn't surprised not to hear CJ on it.
To not hear him on it?
I wasn't surprised.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, if you'd have told me gun to my head, harder scrotum, places I don't want to get shot, I would have thought. I would have said, if I'd have put money on it, T-Mill's best bets, which we won't have this week, I would have said that he would have been off the top 10 this year. And so I wasn't surprised to see it. Now, I would have, as you said, I think you're saying the same thing. I would not have thrown a fit or anything. I've been like, it's an injustice to Baker Mayfield if he weren't placed on it. Baker and Jalen Hurts, that's just very strange for me that they're that close, that they're viewed to be that close. That is the one that gets me. I mean, my man has got a number two MVP finish. The Super Bowl MVP, won it. It's been to two Super Bowls.
He was always going to get overlooked. Going to get minimized, man. It's not sexy in today's game.
And he was flirting with CJ Stroud off the list. The Jalen Hurts one. That to me is the biggest one where I'm like, interesting. All right, the Astros haven't really had the opportunity to have their best player this year, but the guy who has arguably been their best player has kind of shown a little moments where he's been off here lately. Any concerns about him? We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we continue rolling through. It's good to have the gang back together.
Always good to be back together, baby.
That's right. Good to have the gang back together. First half is now technically the Astros have played more than half the year, but the first half of the season as they head to the All-Star break has come to an end, and they scuffled down the stretch here this last homestand, going 1-5. But I want to go into in particulars with Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown has been. If you would say, like, who's been this team's best player overall? You know, Jeremy Pena has been really good from the everyday standpoint, but I would say Hunter Brown has been their number one player, right? When they were like looking at All Star, bam, he's the top guy with what he has done. He is a Cy Young candidate. It was an absolute top two Cy Young candidate. But his last two starts, Clint and the people, 11 innings. He had the start against the Guardians, and then he had the start against the Rangers. 11 innings, 11 hits, 10 earned runs. Was that six yesterday he gave up? Six earned runs. And 11 Ks, and he's had four walks in that time period. His ERA heading into that Guardians game two games ago was 1.82, and now it has gone up to 2.43. So Hunter Brown, who has been this team's best player, best pitcher, I'm not going to say, like, hey, you're not allowed to have an off night, off start. It is two in a row. Last time, he spoke of thinking potentially being tipping pitches at times against the Guardians, and said he would go back and figure some things out. Well, he got hit in a way we haven't really been seeing him getting hit again in this game yesterday against the Rangers. Concern about Hunter Brown?
I think there's definitely a cause to pause. I'm not overly concerned. I don't want to let the last two starts, you know, cloud, you know, what was a tremendous first half. Yeah. And there was a lot of good that happened. Now, a lot of it was in large part due to the injuries. So the what we get excited about is the guys that stepped up and unexpectedly filled roles in a big, big way and all that. So, you know, that's a big part of the Astros. But for to me, the Hunter Brown arrival in like Cy Young fashion the first half of the season is the number one thing that happened in the first half of the season for me. I mean, when you couple that with Framber Valdez, you now, I don't give a damn how great the bats are or they aren't, how healthy the lineup is or they aren't. When you've got Framber Valdez and you got Hunter Brown, you got those two those types of horses at the top of your rotation, then you can hang with anybody. You can hang in any division. And the Astros, now look, they're five games up in the division, so they've done more than that. But I think the surprise, if you will, of the first half, the most impressive thing, the most impactful thing of the first half with the Astros to me has been Hunter Brown kind of establishing himself as an absolute horse in a rotation in the Cy Young conversation as an ace, as a number one starter type of guy. And if you don't have that, you got real problems in Houston. And so I'm not going to let just the last two games completely erase all of the good mind.
It's not just a, that's what I kind of expect.
Well, I do think that we're just talking about Hunter. We're talking about Hunter Brown in a vacuum. We're not talking about the Astros season. We're talking about Hunter Brown in a vacuum. I'm not overly concerned. I think there's a cause to pause. I think he's still young enough in his career, if you will, to where the film could get out, for a lack of better terms. You know, they could still pick things up in his delivery or something that he's doing that maybe it's tipping pitches. Maybe they're just figuring out, seeing him more often, they can hit him a little bit more consistently. I think he's still young enough to where those things could happen, right? So I think it's something to keep an eye on, but I would be shocked if he is an absolute nails down the stretch. He's a young player too, Ron, that first half, I mean, there was a heavy load on him and Framber Valdez, not just the innings, the pitches load, but the expectation to go out there and shut down opponents week in, week out because of all the injuries. So, yeah, I'm not going to let that two game slide right there sway me too much. But I don't want to see much more of it.
It's not just like nothing. It's like a bad.
No, I can't look at it as nothing. No, I mean that was two rough outings in a row, and we haven't seen enough year long consistent greatness from Hunter Brown to say, oh yeah, it's just a blip on the radar. Back to back starts where you struggle, I think, is something to keep an eye on.
I think for me, it's something to watch. Just, and not a major thing, right? I do need to see more starts than to really be, you know, really concerned, struggling than that to be really concerned. But I do think there is huge pressure on him and Framber. Now, this is pressure that Framber has had experience dealing with in a way that I don't know that Hunter has. But I think there is large pressure on those two guys in particular to not have bad starts. And Hunter has had, if we're honest, Hunter has had one definite, another borderline, damn, man, especially with the lineup we're having to run out there right now, we don't really have much of a chance here. Like you're really putting us in a tough spot. And, you know, and for him to have a reasoning that he felt one start and then the next start, he didn't give up six runs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's one thing. It's more not him. Like, if Lance and Ronel and Wisniewski or J.P. France were following him in the rotation behind him, all right, yeah, all right, man. You can maybe have a couple of rough ones. Christian Javier was in this rotation. You can have a couple of rough ones.
Yeah,
this one, there's not much margin for error, boy. If you lose the Framber Hunter Brown game, you feel like you may be in locks to lose the series, because generally the way it has shaken out, maybe it will shake out differently when they start the second half. They haven't pitched in the same series, and it's like it's usually Framber followed by, you know, Colton Gordon and Gusto, or, you know, Hunter Brown followed by Ginger Nation and one of them. So it's just importance right now with the injuries they have that those guys have quality starts, and this is two in a row that they need for him. So it's one to watch. It's
absolutely that's no two. Question about it.
Like again, like Clint Tyler, if the Seattle series comes, I don't know if Framber starts the first game or he does. He'll start either the first one or the second one. If he comes out again with another like 5-5, 5-6 or you know something like that, and he's getting hit, it's three in a row. It's like whoa, okay, what is going on? Are you tipping pitches? Are they seeing something? Like what is going on? You don't just go from being a Cy Young candidate and then like three starts in a row, guys get on you, and they'll be rested. So. Hunter Brown is one to watch as we continue. C.J. Stroud, I want to dig into that a little bit more. What was the thought in your mind? Text it in, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. What was the thought in your mind when you found out C.J. Stroud, who was seventh last year after his rookie season in the top 10 quarterbacks, according to NFL execs, coaches, and scouts, and then you find out that he is no longer in the top 10. What was your thoughts when you heard that? And would you be shocked if he's not there next year? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, what were your thoughts? What were your thoughts? Someone texted in, by the way. What did you guys weigh? I missed it. We did the weigh-in 3 o'clock every Monday. You can catch the Odyssey app. Find that podcast page right at the top, 3 o'clock. Clint got down 4 pounds. He is 0.4, 0.5 away from getting into the 230s, which was his original goal. Now it'll be big to see if Clint can stay in the 230s by the time I get down where I'm trying to get down there with him. Can Clint maintain them 230s?
Woo!
By the time I get down there. But by the way, can you tell? Can you feel a difference?
Yeah.
You can?
Because mm-hmm.
you're 262 to start this, and now 240 right now, 240.4. I would ignore the 0.4, but whatever.
I've not been lifting near as much, so that's what I'm gonna struggle with. It's like I don't feel as strong as I did before.
Are you not lifting as much on purpose?
I wouldn't say on purpose. I'm just like whatever. Usually I'm a whatever I do, I'm not going to miss my weights. I'm going to get my weights in, even if that don't mean I'm going to eat right, even if that doesn't mean I'm going to get my cardio in, I'm going to get them weights in. And now I've been more geared towards it doesn't matter if I've got 30 minutes or 40 minutes, I'm going to get cardio in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I've got the extra time and what my focus is on is I'm gonna stay in that sauna and I'm gonna get this water right in my system to quit just retaining everything out there. So I gotta find that happy medium. I wanna get down and then get back into weights and see if I can't find an even ground right there.
Yeah, I got down another 2+, 292.2. Someone texted in that Tyler screwed me up. Not really. But you're right. Trying to get to that to that 280 mark. I would say two out of the three times I was able to shake, rattle, and roll from, and Tyler happened to be right there every time. I was able to shake, rattle, and roll that Pink's pizza. I really wanted it. I don't know if you could see it in my eyes, Tyler. He had a large pepperoni. Then he had like some kind of
Pepperoni sticks
and cheese sticks and like some garlic knots or something.
Oh, those were dessert. Those were cinnamon, like some sort of cinnamon treat.
Florida, okay. I didn't.
You just went for it all, huh?
I didn't take it and smell it. I smelled the boxes of the others.
Yeah.
Go big or go home.
And he had a good dipping sauces too to go with.
Yes.
I was able to turn that down. He also offered me at the baseball game. We went to the Astros game. He also offered me some brisket nachos. I was able to turn it down.
That pink drink got you, didn't it?
Yeah. He said, come on, man. Go enjoy yourself. You know, Tyler can get it real convincing. You know what? I say, you know what, man? I should. You know what? That's it. I came walking up, marching up that aisle. I
just want everybody to have a good time, man.
Tyler, I know it's hard for you, man, is to keep these
guys. He's a good time haver. That's right.
And have a good time. That's the battle. That's the battle, though. I'll tell you what. I think we've done a hell of a job since you – what are we, about 2 months
into
this
thing? Why do we
keep
running into stuff?
Well, no. There's no, why do you keep running? To me, this is the way that it has to go. I mean, we're both down 20-ish pounds, right? I mean, if you get into the 80s, hell, you're going to be knocking on 30.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's not always losing 5 or 10 pounds, but it's staying a conscious effort, staying front of mind, and you just kind of keep chipping away. You don't get frustrated if you gain 2 or 3, or you don't lose sight if you go on vacation, but you get right back in, on the horse, and you keep on riding. I think this is the way that you actually can accomplish something, create some habits, and keep losing weight. Down, man, you're almost 30.
Not almost 30, but
when you get into the 80s, I guess it's almost 20.
Yeah, it should have been that at damn.
I mean, we've lost a combined 40 pounds just because you decided to put it on air one day. Yeah, I'm good with that. I feel pretty damn good about it, actually.
Text line coming in. You can lift and still lose. Clint, hit me up. Anthony, what's up, gang? Clint looking thin, especially in the face show, looking good as well.
Appreciate that, man. A little, what do you know about that? You found something positive on that text line, didn't you, bro?
YouTube and Twitch, maybe. YouTube and Twitch, they got to show their faces, their names on there. It's good, man.
I'll tell you what, I typically I'm a big believer in lifting weights. I'm a big believer in lifting to lose, lifting to stay lean, or let's say lifting to burn, not necessarily lose. My problem is my body responds differently. Like me bulking and putting on weight, like and gaining strength, like zero problems whatsoever.
But it's the other way.
It's getting it off
while maintaining.
It's getting it out, getting it off, and getting the water through, getting my system moving. I don't doubt that it can all be done. My body just responds a little differently. I'm getting in the weight room and bulking up is still at 47 is no problem for me. The key is how can I do that and be super lean? I don't know if I got that at 47.
Yeah. We've talked about this a bit today, the top 10 list that C.J. Stroud was not on. He, by all accounts, it feels like he was 11th. When you look at the honorable mentions, it was him. It was Jordan Love.
The way I read it was 8 through 11, the voting was ridiculously tight. Close, which 11 was C.J. Stroud, 10 was Baker Mayfield, 9 was Jalen Hurts, and 8 was Jared Goff. I mean, the way that I read it, it's splitting hairs.
You
not sure how Jalen's in that conversation, but he was.
Yeah. Are you will you guys, Tyler, you two, you can jump in at some point. Will you guys be surprised if CJ's not in the top 10 next year? When you look at all the changes now we've gotten Bobby out of here. There've been some changes, maybe some changes in thought process. As we've learned, he's going to get more control. They're adding different weapons. Will you be surprised if he's not one that returns, especially being out close?
Surprised, no. Disappointed, yes.
So you wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
There's just too much. The O-line, I have no idea if they're going to be any better. Nick Cayley, I have no idea if they're going to be any better. Health-wise, no idea if they're going to be any better. C.J. Stroud, year 3, is he more of the stretch the field guy? I'm going to force to stretch the field or hold the ball and stretch the field, or am I the play smart, get the ball out of my hand, let the game kind of dictate how I play football? Who is he really? Yeah, I surprised no, but disappointed yes. I mean I'll be disappointed if Nick Cayley, this offensive line, C.J. Stroud, Nick Chubb, and Joe Mixon together. Dalton Schultz having another, like I would be disappointed as I've ever been if he's not a top 10 quarterback next year. Surprised, not so much, but disappointed, yeah.
No, that's a good way to put it. I will be surprised. I feel like maybe Baker comes down a little bit. I feel like Jared Goff is one that I'm watching because he's been so tied, which. You know, you almost feel it's unfair to Jared, but I think there is some truth to it. He's been so tied to the coordinators and play callers he's had.
Yep.
He's gone from Sean McVay when he was really, really good, and then now to Ben Johnson. Now both of them are gone from him. He's not got Ben Johnson's with the Bears. He's one to look at to me. So I will be a bit surprised because I get the feel that the offensive line should be good enough, right? He almost made it with that old line last year. The offensive line should be improved overall. Should be improved overall to give him a better chance. And it appears that his, you would think, CJ, a really, really smart player, smart kid, himself seeing what last year looked like in terms of his mentality, which it seemed like it was much more big play down the field thought process. I think probably Nick Cayley, Nick Casario's thought with this offense is probably going to shift some of his mindset. So I would be surprised to me if we get in here, if we get in here next year and he's not slipped himself into this top 10.
Yeah, you've got some really good ones, Ron, that are right there that would be in that 8 to 11, right? I mean, that he's got to crack that top and then that bottom.
And some maybe behind, right?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the list, man, and the Geno Smiths and Sam Darnolds of the world are never going to be considered. If anything, they'll be like Baker, maybe 10.
I mean, Sam should have been considered based off his last year.
Bro, Geno had a hell of a year, too, now, if we're just talking stats. But Aaron Rodgers with Pittsburgh will be interesting. Brock Purdy with that new contract. Bo Nix balled in Denver. I mean, you start looking at Caleb Williams with Ben Johnson. Where's he gonna finish? You mentioned Jordan Love. I mean, there's a lot of guys. You never know what you can get out of Kyler Murray. The truth of the matter is, there's an arms and some legs involved there. And I think all of those guys that I mentioned are
you know, he had a
yeah. That's what I mentioned. Yeah. Like yeah, I mean, to me, those are guys that are sexy enough right now from the media perspective, as well as have the ability to put up some good numbers. And where do they rank? It's going to be interesting to see kind of how it all plays out in that bottom half of the top 10, and if CJ can crack it again.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't want him cranking it again. I just want him to crack it again.
Yeah, he's cranking that thing down the field, wasn't he? I would be. I'd be disappointed and surprised at this point. As you said, disappointing is the right one. I'd be disappointed and surprised.
Well, I mean, but here's the deal, Ron. I mean, we start going down this list of what's going on in Houston. This is the wild card, really. I mean, you can argue in the AFC, given that you're back-to-back 10-win seasons, back-to-back second round of the playoffs, would it shock anybody in the building if the O-line was same old crap as last year? If Nick Cayley turns out to have not been a top a OC, if he's a better position coach, if freaking Nico Collins can't do it by himself, would it surprise you if Nick Chubb was not even remotely close to who he was, and Joe Mixon's got to carry the load again and gets injured?
It would surprise.
Would it surprise anybody that Dalton Schultz is not worth $12 million a year?
I thought he was going to get away.
No, I mean, all of it.
It would surprise me if all of those things occurred.
Sure, agreed.
So last year, a lot of those things, like that, Dalton, the offensive line, CJ or well, Nico, because of the
about,
injuries.
But Ron, we're talking about ultimately CJ being a top 10 quarterback. We're talking about getting past the second round. We're talking about winning more than 10 games. Like it's. A lot of those things have to happen for that to even have a chance to do those things, right?
Yeah. I would be surprised if, like, the tight end rooms and the O-line rooms are as bad.
Fair. I agree. Fair.
As bad. And again, he almost made it into the top 10 with them bad.
Fair. Good point.
You would hope. Because to me, I do think we would start to move away from the it's not all him. Or it's none of it is him.
Right.
Of why they're struggling. All right, coming up as we continue, a little 5 o'clock fire. The Astros, how are y'all feeling? 1-5 in their homestand to finish out the first half heading to the All-Star break. What's your thoughts there as this lead in the division has been trimmed down? We'll get you ready for the All-Star Games home run derby, which means a little extra for us, and big money coming. Big money coming to a star in the NFL got a new deal, got paid. We'll let you know the particulars of that as we continue right here live on The Drive.